am to stalking comics with my dead. More stalking comics on this podcast than any other podcast. I'm Rachel.
I'm Jim. I'm her dad. She's the one that talks comics with me.
Yeah.
And that just really creeped me out. That was just extremely creepy.
Cryptkeeper.
Just extremely creepy what you just did.
Well, thank you.
I'm very, very impressed.
Thank you. Sunday once again, beautiful, beautiful Sunday. It really is a beautiful Sunday, actually.
Broncos beat the Patriots today. Beautiful day.
If I knew anything about football, that would mean something to me.
It probably would.
But, yeah.
So we're going to talk about comic books. Horror comic books. There was the Comic Code back in the 50s, 1954, which was very restrictive.
Comics Code Authority.
There was no zombies, vampires, werewolves. Couldn't have any monsters, or you couldn't have anything about divorce.
Oh no!
And then things changed in 1972, where they did allow Frankenstein and werewolves, no zombies still in 1972.
No, zombies were strictly off limits.
But they did loosen up the code quite a bit, and that did allow for horror comics to kind of, even though they couldn't, they didn't really use that term with them, tales of mystery, things like that the 1970s kind of brought back the whole horror comic genre.
And there was this whole thing that if I could remember the name, I would say it, but there's a book talking about how there was a genuine belief that horror comics would corrupt the minds of young readers, which, you know, I've never heard of before. That's just absurd. But, yeah, eventually they relaxed the comics code bit by bit, and eventually, you know, horror comics started to be kind of a big deal.
And I remember more of, like, Swamp Thing. I read some of the horror comics back then, not a lot. It was more of Swamp Thing, Dead Man,
yes.
Boston Brand, the trapeze artist that gets killed by the assassin Hook, and he's actually like part of this whole group of assassins, if you will.
Yes.
And the Boston Brand has this ability because he dresses up as his act as in this kind of superhero like costume,
right?
But his face is white, and he's supposed to look dead. And so he ends up, that ends up being kind of his ghostly presence that he has. And he can go into other people's bodies and kind of drive them around, if you will, to try to find out who killed him. And it carried off into, obviously, his own comic later on.
So it's kind of a murder mystery with the murder victim solving their own murder.
Exactly.
And, you know, man, that would have to suck, though. I mean, imagine dying, and the thing you die in is your crappy stage performer costume, and you have to spend the rest of your afterlife in that. That would suck. I mean, it's a good thing it wasn't a clown or anything.
Yeah, good thing that it was, you know, kind of, you know, badass looking. It was, you know, scary, intimidating.
I mean,
but then nobody could see him, though, right? Because
that's
other,
true.
Unless there were other ghostly entities that could see him.
As he's piloting, you know, the other bodies around, and yeah. And then Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing, so good. The movies, so bad. But I love them anyway.
They were terrible. Of course, the DC Online, they were going to have a Swamp Thing series, and then that kind of fizzled out, and that whole DC Universe streaming-only platform, that's kind of now changed, and some of those shows are, like Doom Patrol and others, are going to go over to, are already on HBO Max now.
So DC, kind of streaming thing, fell in on itself like a flan in a cupboard. It's very unfortunate.
Very sad. Nice baking reference, though, by the way.
It's like, Swamp Thing would have been great. I would have loved to see them do, like, a show with Swamp Thing. But I always enjoyed the comics. Alan Moore did a ton of those, didn't he?
Yeah, Alan Moore was kind of the guy that, from my understanding, kind of took it out of the ditch, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
That particular character had not really established itself particularly well. Alan Moore came on, of course, known for Watchmen and many other things.
Killing Joke.
Exactly. And kind of retooled the whole Swamp Thing premise.
Yeah.
Of course, he's a scientist that ends up being this creature made out of natural elements of you know, moss and trees and things like that.
And he controls, he can tap into, like, this force known as the green, which is, like, the living essence and consciousness of all plant life and things like that. So, I mean, he's kind of like Aquaman, but for plants.
But it had kind of a horror theme feel to it,
though. It did, Yeah, very much. Well, I mean, and he was a monster himself. He was a monstrous entity. So, yeah, I mean, it was all very spooky and very cool.
And he had, you know, another kind of superhero horror thing was the Phantom Stranger.
Oh, yes.
Who was an angel who did not side with either Satan or God in the war, you know, between the heavens and hell. And so he gets banished to Earth and basically dresses like a, you know, a 1950s detective, the trench coat, like Mike Hammer or somebody like that, and the hat. But he has this ability to, of course, because he's an angel, connect with very, you know, all these different supernatural elements.
Right. And then you have the question who marches up to him like, hey, you stole my look. What are you doing?
Exactly. And then John Constantine, Hellblazer.
Hellblazer,
right?
Yeah. I always call it Constantine because that's the dude's name. But right. No, it's Hellblazer.
But he was a spinoff of the Phantom Stranger.
Yes. And he got, I'd say from what I've seen of the Phantom Stranger, Constantine has a little bit more of his own personality. He's, you know, he's definitely more of a lovable rogue from what I've seen. And he's just more of a dude.
Right. And Constantine, somebody who's dying from cancer but makes a deal.
Yeah.
With the devil, right?
Yes, exactly. And the devil agrees. And so in return, Constantine has to, you know, pay back, you know, his debt. And he's played magnificently by Keanu Reeves in the movie. It was a good movie.
It wasn't bad. I thought it was actually a pretty good film.
I don't care what anyone says. It was a good movie.
So today on Talking Comics with my dad, we're talking about some of these things. We're horror comics and ended up kind of being almost like superhero.
Oh yeah.
Creations that came out of kind of a horror background. Mm-hmm. And so that's been in the 70s. You get the chance to see all that because, like we talked about, with the comic code being the revision of it in 72,
yeah,
allowed for some of these things to actually
take
place.
After a while, people looked at, you know, Marvel and DC and they thought, say, we can actually make money on this whole comic book thing. So eventually the comic code got relaxed and they started to be able to do a little more. And of course, now you have things like The Walking Dead and of course, you know, superhero zombies. You have the fabulous Deceased, which is a great pun. Really good story. You don't know danger until you've seen Zombie Superman.
Exactly.
And then you have Marvel Zombies, which isn't quite as good in my opinion, but still very good.
You're more familiar with the superhero zombie part of it, and you like you think the DC version was better. One of the rare times where DC was probably better than Marvel.
I would say that. So, absolutely, without question. It's a good story overall, and I think they acknowledge some of their own flaws and their own tropes because, spoiler alert, they take out Batman almost right away. But I would really recommend reading it if you hadn't. I mean, it's just good. And I mean, there's a lot of pathos in there. And that, you know, it's not just, I mean, there's a lot of cool killing the undead stuff. But there's also a lot of emotional moments in there that are very powerful.
And then even more recently, too, you have the Batman Who Laughs. There's very much a horror element in that particular
very much so
storyline that's been going on
yeah.
You know, here the last several months, a year.
Yeah, the Batman Who Laughs, and then kind of the thing that is a bit of an offshoot of it that plays into it, the Dark Knight's Metal kind of series that's been going on, which makes very little sense, but it's fun to watch. I've been reading it. I don't understand any of it, but it's great.
But you're enjoying it.
Exactly.
You're having a good time with it.
I'm just having fun.
All right. So for you, what would be your favorite, like, comic, horror, superhero kind of combination? What would that be for you?
Oh, well, you know, I would have to say some of the more recent Doctor Strange stuff, because Doctor Strange, you know, he does delve occasionally, he dips his toe into the horror genre now and then. I think especially recently there's been some really good comics. Mr. Misery is one title that I think really jumps out, because it talks a bit about one of Doctor Strange's old, like, allies, friends, named Mr. Misery, that he used to work with and used to be kind of an occult expert as well, and he's turned and he's become corrupted, and he's out to get Doctor Strange. And the art is fabulous. It's a fun story. It's just really good. I don't know. I gotta say, too, Venom. Venom's always good. I think Venom does a lot with horror, especially when Carnage comes into play.
Right, because we don't think of that typically as being a horror comic, but there is that.
There's aspects there, especially with the world building they're doing nowadays, with the kind of the origins of the symbiotes and what's really created them, and without getting too heavy into spoiler territory, that there's way more to them than we were first led to believe, and it's got some very dark, very unsettling origins. And it's good stuff, and you really feel for Eddie Brock.
I like the Dead Man stuff.
Dead Man's good.
Because that was the stuff I read when I was young, mm-hmm. when he was just kind of an occasional character that appeared. He would have a story every so often in one of the, I forget which one of the DC titles it was, and then he got his own series of comic books into the 80s. I always liked Dead Man a lot, because I liked the idea of this. He could go into other people's bodies, and he was a detective kind of in his own way. The one I always thought was interesting, too, was the Black Lanterns.
That's right. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Because there's a lot of horror elements in there with the Black Lanterns, which are these different, of course, it's the Green Lanterns, essentially the Guardians of the Galaxy. Don't sue me, Marvel, for saying that. But then you have all these offshoots, the Red Lanterns, the Blue Lanterns, that are these different groups, and the Black Lanterns come about by basically digging up Bruce Wayne after he's dead and using his skull to, you know, have these other characters become Black Lanterns, and they're completely evil. And
the Black Lanterns are basically, they're zombies. They're space
exactly.
zombies. Exactly. And that's what they are, and they're great. And that whole story about them was really surprisingly gory, for one thing. Like, I did not expect it to be as violent as it was, but it worked. It was really, really unsettling and really good.
Yeah, I thought that was, it was great how they took, you know, this very established universe of the Lanterns, incorporated other, obviously, DC characters, and had them come together in this battle against the Black Lanterns.
Yeah.
And it, I just thought it was really cool how they did it, and was very, obviously had a lot of horror elements in the storyline.
And it was cool, and it was just, and it was kind of like upsetting to see like some of your favorite old dead characters coming back as like these Black Lanterns, and seeing like, because basically when it gets down to it, the Black Lanterns, when their energy invades a dead person, it doesn't really bring them back to life so much as it's kind of puppeting them.
It reanimates them, not with their own
thoughts
and feelings.
Yeah, they're like a grotesque mockery of that person's memory. And it's good.
Yeah, it's really good. I think the Black Lantern stuff is a really cool storyline.
Yeah.
It does a nice job of merging the superhero, you know, the superhero approach, that storyline, into having a horror element to it. Really good.
I thought it was well handled.
Okay, so we'll step away, because we'll have probably more Halloween stuff we'll talk about next week.
Right.
About the Batman film, because they started filming again.
Yeah.
Now that Robert Pattinson's okay from COVID, good to know that. They have moved it back, the release date, which has not made people very happy, but it's kind of what we've, you know, expected.
I mean,
and so now, because we've talked a lot about the multiverse stuff, which obviously the Flashpoint movie is going to access. Certainly we're going to see that potentially with the next Doctor Strange movie. Well, it has multiverse in the title, so naturally we're going to see that.
Oh, yeah.
And so with the Matt Reeves film, it's supposed to be, you know, not connected to the Justice League.
It's its own thing.
But interesting thing about it, there are people in costume in the film that are in the background that are extras. One is dressed like Superman. One's dressed like Wonder Woman. Like the people who see out in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
On Hollywood Boulevard out there.
Yeah.
That are,
yeah, like the celebrity impersonator.
Yeah. And it's a couple of people like that. And so now the conjecture is starting. Okay. Are they comic book characters in that universe, not real people,
or are they celebrities?
And that is a universe where Superman and Wonder Woman do exist, and so that will be the question we see going forward. How will that be answered? Will this possibly be some way of tying this Batman in this universe into the whole multiverse thing, because this is supposed to be its own separate entity.
They love their multiverses.
Which, the way they're approaching the film, I'm not sure that's a great idea.
Yeah,
because
just let it be its own thing.
Because I get it, it's more to me like the Christian Bale Batman, the Christopher Nolan films.
Yeah.
It's more about him existing in what would be reality. And this just this obviously wealthy individual that's gone through this very traumatic experience fighting crime, that's how they approached it in the Nolan films, which is great. And I kind of thought, you know, because this is supposed to be very noir, very much Batman as a detective, not, you know, not flying around the bat plane with guns on it, and
not fighting dinosaurs
or anything like that. No, not fighting, you know, Kryptonian bad guys like Doomsday.
God.
And so it will be interesting to see if they try to find a way to tie Pattinson and this Batman movie and this Batman universe into all the other stuff.
I would be disappointed, but not surprised.
I would be disappointed if they can they do it well? I mean, if they, and what does that mean when I say, can they do it well? I don't know what that looks like.
I guess it's just like, there's a certain point where it's like, does this all need to be a multiverse? Do you need to milk as much out of this franchise as you possibly humanly can? I mean, it's Batman. You can do plenty with it without having to tie it into every other interconnected universe.
Because I really like a lot of the elements of this film.
Me too.
Paul Dano as the Riddler, mm-hmm. kind of a anti-hero. He's not really a villain.
Yeah.
And he's actually more on Batman's side. And in things that I've read, he's more the kind of the vigilante, the avenging force against the evil in Gotham City.
Exactly.
And Batman's kind of, this is year two of Bruce Wayne as Batman, and he's kind of questioning whether or not he should be doing this, because somebody like the Riddler, the Paul Dano character, apparently is doing it much better, but he's also stepping way across the line in how he's trying to clean up Gotham City.
And it feels like there is, and I think I've probably said this in another podcast too, but it feels like there's little bits of hush in this Riddler's characterization.
Right.
Which, I mean, understandable, you take a pinch of a cooler character because it is the Riddler.
And I thought it was cool too. Zoe Kravitz, who's going to play Catwoman.
Yes.
She had the Michelle Pfeiffer boots on from when she played Catwoman, which I thought, what a nice homage. What a
nice little shout out.
Had that. And have you seen the pictures of Colin Farrell?
Yes. He looks good.
He doesn't look any... He does not look anything like Colin Farrell. It's fantastic makeup, because he does...
It is really remarkable makeup. He doesn't look recognizable at all. You don't see anything there that says Colin Farrell.
He looks more like Alfred Molina.
He does.
It looks like Alfred Molina's playing that character.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's obviously, it's Colin Farrell.
I mean, it's hard to look at that guy and think, wait, I was about to say something. Colin Farrell was not in Mamma Mia, was he?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because I was about to say, you look at this guy and you think, that guy was in Mamma Mia. And it's like, was he though? I don't know. But either way, he looks good.
I'm not sure. I'll be honest.
I don't know why I'm asking you, because I doubt you'd know.
Not my wheelhouse. Okay.
I'd be more surprised if you did know.
Probably disappointed that if I...
Not disappointed, just surprised. I mean, you can like what you like.
Okay, I'm sure those films are wonderful. I've never seen one.
But overall, yeah, he looks totally transformed. He's going to be good, I think. He's going to be good.
Yeah, I think the film's going to be really good. I just hope that they don't try to eventually wedge it in to a multiverse-y thing that just it doesn't... It just doesn't fit.
That they get so ahead of themselves trying to make this applicable to, you know, do crossovers and stuff, that they forget the whole purpose is just to tell a good story. It's like, that's all I want. I want a good detective story.
Right, and Affleck says he wants to now do the Batman film.
Yeah.
Which, let him do that.
Yeah.
Let him continue on.
He's there. You've got him back on board.
You've got him. Continue that. Introduce Deathstroke like they were going to briefly at the end of Justice League. Continue on, and maybe you can kind of piece that together along with the Flash movie, and make that actually take chicken chicken crap and turn chicken salad out of that.
Exactly.
Make chicken salad out of it. That'd be nice.
You know, I think what they should do, my proposal for how they should introduce Deathstroke, is that they need to go to, like, a florist shop or something, and they need to show, like, back shot of this guy planting flowers, and then you turn around and he's wearing his mask and it's like, it's Deathstroke, the Germinator.
Okay. That might be a good place to stop today.
Well, I thought it was a good place to start.
You can do the mic drop if you want to. Actually, have a mic.
I don't
want to
drop this. I might have to pay for it.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, thanks once again for tuning in. This has been Talking Comics with my dad. I'm Rachel.
I'm Jim.
And we'll see you next time.
And here's the cheesy music as we say goodbye.